What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 22nd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside U.S. Gamers,
Kat Bailey. Oh my God, I did it.
You did it. You made it. We've been talking about this for a long time, and you finally came through.
And you finally brought me on the show, and I get to talk about the video games
you
with
love
you.
Love the video
I love
games.
This. I've been a big fan of you going back to IGN.
Well, thank
so
you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No, you've always been awesome to me and us and everything. Yeah. If somebody doesn't know you, summarize your entire career right here.
Okay. So it all began in the year 1983, but actually fast forward to the year 2009 and actually, okay, so I'm the editor-in-chief of US Gamer. Hi, we're part of the Gamer Network, so we're the sister site of Eurogamer.
Yep.
And I have this podcast that's extremely nerdy. It's about called Acts of the Blood God.
Okay.
And it's about RPGs. We love RPGs over at the US Gamer.
Yes,
so,
yes you do.
Yeah, you should go check it out and subscribe and everything because right now we're doing the top 25 RPGs over on Acts of the Blood God. And if you listen on Monday, you can find out what number 25 is. We're doing it for the next 6 months.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah,
right.
We're like going in depth. We don't believe, we're not like these other sites that are like, we'll give a capsule to this 105-hour RPG. We're going to like really
go in depth.
Here's
four sentences about why this is number 94.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
So,
how long are the podcasts going to be for each one of them?
The podcast, it's going to be a segment. It's going to be about 35, 40 minutes, and we're going to try and have guests on.
Wow, okay.
Do you have
any
RPGs that you're especially like passionate about?
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite RPG?
Of all time?
Yeah. I want to know.
Probably it's got to be Persona 4 Golden.
You have good taste.
Thank you, I try.
You have
I try.
Excellent taste.
Yeah.
Maybe this game will be on this list.
It better be. All right. It better be, Kat. I don't want to insult you and curse at you right away. I'll
subscribe
get to the
and find out.
I will. Now, before we get anything else, Kevin, right before we went live, as we were going live, you hit some buttons and then went, and you punched yourself in the head three times. What happened?
I hit the live button instead of the, Games Daily preview. Or the... I just hit the wrong button.
Okay. You're okay, though?
Fucking fat fingers.
No, you know? Kevin, it's not your fingers' fault. That's how God made you, and we love you.
It's one of those things, like, I know it's dumb, but when you say stuff, just for a moment, it throws me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Even when I do the thing where I say, I love you, Kevin, like, a whisper in the mic, that throws you off.
Yeah.
All right. So I just can't tell you I love you anymore.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Apparently not. It throws you off. Housekeeping for you. Guess what, everybody? Kinda Funny Prom is 1 week away. You can go to kindoffunny.com/kindoffunnyprom. Look at all the community events. Grab a ticket if you want to come. Are you coming to Kinda Funny Prom?
Do I get to dress up?
Yes.
Nerd prom?
Yes.
I'm all in.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's June 30th, a week from Saturday.
June 30th. Oh, my God.
A week from today,
I got to go get my dress.
So
it's like being back in high school.
I know, right?
What the hell?
Well, you know what? Follow closer.
I'm
going
to have to find a date, too. Wow.
You got a lot. It's going to be a busy week for you.
You're just throwing me right back. I'm feeling the anxiety right now.
It's like it's a teen movie we're making. It's a 90s teen movie right now. The montage is about to kick up of you running
to the
store.
So if I take off my glasses.
Yeah, and shake your hair back. Yeah, there it is. There it is. See? Oh, my gosh. She was beautiful all along. The overalls. I couldn't see through them. Then, of course, also we're brought to you today by Brooklyn and MeUndies. But I'll tell you about that later. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Then you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. See, a lot of people thought I screwed it up, that I forgot that intro because I went into housekeeping, but I didn't. It's Friday. Nobody cares.
You're well practiced. You're really getting this down.
You know what I mean? A couple more years, I'll be good at podcasting. You watch. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. That one seemed painful.
I have a cough in here.
Yeah.
Trying to get it out.
I understand. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Kevin's back, everybody. It only took him all week, but he's recovered from E3, and he's ready for a nap.
I'm still not recovered from E3.
It's bad,
right?
Call
me next May.
I think it was, Thursday? I think I drifted off at, 9:30 at night on the couch. Like,
I have a friend on Facebook, and that jerk has a countdown already to the next E3.
No.
He's literally got a counter in his office, and I feel very bad for his employees.
I went to a barbecue, on Saturday, and they had it on the wall.
Oh, my God.
Days three? I was like, you suck. You suck. This is the problem. Number one on the Roper Report, Bethesda is suing Warner Brothers over that new Westworld game. This is via Matt Kim at US Gamer.
Oh, man, I love that guy.
You know him? Is he all right?
I heard him myself.
Okay. Bethesda Softworks is suing Fallout Shelter co-developer Behavior Interactive and Warner Brothers over the recent Westworld mobile game, claiming the latter mobile game stole code from Fallout Shelter. The claim accuses Behavior Interactive of having, quote, the same or highly similar game design, art style, animations, features, and other gameplay elements as Fallout Shelter. Most damning, Bethesda accuses Behavior of utilizing its access to Bethesda's IP, quote, copyright code, trade secrets, and other rights to build the Westworld mobile game faster, cheaper, and quickly brought the Westworld mobile game to market and offer and offer players the widely popular gameplay experiences found in Fallout Shelter. That's a direct quote, so I can't do it. Bethesda then released this statement that Matt included in his article. Bethesda Softworks has today filed a complaint in U.S. District Court against Behavior Interactive and Warner Brothers for copyright infringement, breach of contract, and misappropriation of its intellectual property. The case arises from Behavior's development of a Westworld mobile game for Warner Brothers. Behavior had previously worked with Bethesda to develop Bethesda's hit game Fallout Shelter, and under that contract, Bethesda alone owned all resulting intellectual property, including the game's copyrighted code. Behavior illegally used the same copyrighted source code from Fallout Shelter to develop Westworld and copied Fallout Shelter's game design, art, animations, gameplay features, and other elements. As a result of Behavior and Warner Brothers' unlawful conduct, Westworld is a blatant ripoff. This is our official statement. Westworld is a blatant ripoff of Fallout Shelter with largely superficial cosmetic changes. Bethesda will vigorously protect its legal rights in the valuable intellectual properties it owns and take legal action whenever those rights are being infringed. TMZ talked about this, Polygon talked about it. One of the things I saw getting kicked around, one of the things Bethesda is citing of like, hey, I can tell you why this is a knockoff, because it has the same bugs Fallout Shelter had when we first launched it. It's whoa. Like, Lord almighty.
Okay, if that's the case, then it sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
Behavior Interactive, if you're not familiar with them, they're kind of a contract developer, and they've worked on things like Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor, that kind of thing. They've also worked on, I think they're working on Star Citizen.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So
they've been around for a while, too.
They've been
That's
around
the thing.
Since at least like 2000. I think they became Behavior Interactive in like 2007.
Right.
And the point is, they're not a big outfit, and Bethesda is going to be able to bring all of the lawyers to bear, and this is extremely bad for them, I think.
Was going
to
say, yeah, right now, if you want to, I would jump on and download the Westworld game. Yeah. I don't know how much exactly. longer it's going to be around there.
Yeah. I remember when the Westworld game was announced and everybody went immediately, just, it's a Fallout Shelter game. And in fact, I think Kotaku put out that it was they basically said, this game looks like a Fallout Shelter game. And I believe Bethesda actually used it as one of their exhibits. So
yeah,
that tells you everything you need to know, right?
Yeah, they you know, Behavior, like you said, they changed their name back in the day, but 2000, they've been releasing stuff. And I remember them as always being, when I was at IGN reviewing games early on, that one of those mid-tier developers that was putting out stuff that wasn't like, that was interesting. Dante's Inferno, right? These are things they worked on.
Oh my God,
of course,
Dante's Inferno. Ugh.
The classic, and this is why I know them the most as Artificial Mind and Movement, the classic Naughty Bear. One of my...
what is Naughty Bear?
Naughty Bear was a terrible video game.
Really?
That was one of the buggiest pieces of shit I ever played and reviewed. And it
you
was
mean
that,
like Fallout Shelter?
No, you play it as, it was a third-person murder simulator where you were an overgrown teddy bear. All these teddy bears lived in the woods.
Oh my God, I remember that
and
game.
And you had a machine, like you were the one that snapped and you went off and killed them. But like your animations would like go through the world, go through their heads. It was just like, it was poorly put together, to say the least. And I think it was received so badly by myself and other people that, yeah, that was their last game. One of their last games. It was Naughty Bear, then 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures 2, and then they changed to Behavior Interactive to try to get away from that, I would assume.
So it's not exactly uncommon for mobile developers to just basically rip off whatever the heck is in on the market. I mean, how many stupid, horrible Clash Royale clones are there out there, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that Behavior Interactive worked on Fallout Shelter, went over to WB, essentially made the same game, I think there's a circumstantial case to be made that, I mean, that they used code or recycled
code. It doesn't look
code.
Good on paper, right? And just in the way of, like, okay, cool, we worked on Fallout Shelter and now we're, you know, we left and we're making this other, I'm like, wait a second, like, no, that's not how this
but
works.
But I think that they will have to produce real, like, hard evidence more than just circumstantial evidence. But I wouldn't be shocked if... Just me being all lawyer. Let's get all legal here.
Sure,
I know
way
too many lawyers in my life. I wouldn't be surprised if Behavior settled out of court so that they can avoid a prolonged legal battle.
Sure, but I think here's the thing is that they're Bethesda, right? They got ZeniMax behind them. I feel like they're going to go to the mat and not want to settle because it seems like...
Are they going to go to the max?
Yeah, exactly. ZeniMax.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got
you know, it's about time to wrap up the show,
there
Kat. But I think they're going to, I mean, like, especially with a WB behind behind it in a Westworld IP in the balance, I bet they're out for blood. I don't know if they'll just settle, but it'll be interesting.
Yep, exactly. And meanwhile, over this stupid game that I'm sure is going to make a lot, it's probably making a lot of money even as we speak.
I almost took a GDC demo. Westworld. Took a GDC demo for Westworld thing. Oh,
we
yeah?
We did, actually, because I was like, well, WB, it's going to be a mobile game. It's probably going to do a lot of traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
People download these games and spend money on them.
Yeah.
So, Westworld, do you watch Westworld?
I do watch Westworld.
I watched the first season. I do not care for it.
Really?
Yeah, I got to the end of the first season and I was like, man, that was really dumb. Because it telegraphs everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw the big twist coming and everything. The internet figured out all out and I was like, oh, that was okay, and I just haven't had the will to get into season two. Does it get any better with season two?
Here's the thing. I liked season one. I thought the ending, I knew where we were going or whatever, and maybe it took a little bit longer to get there. Season two starts off really slow.
Okay.
Where it was like the first few episodes where we would come in and talk about like, man, like this isn't good, like what are you know, and like Nick stopped watching, but then I hate being this guy, but it was that episode 3 or 4 or whatever was like, okay, oh, and like they built, and like I haven't caught the most recent one because we were out of town, but we caught up with the other one we missed from E3, and that episode is phenomenal.
I heard that it gets pretty good around mid-season. Yeah. It has Samurai World.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Samurai World is interesting.
Yeah, it's super cool, and they do a lot of cool things with the archetypes you know from the first season from Westworld.
So. Did you see the original movie?
No.
Oh my God, you got to see the original movie.
Do I?
Yes.
Do I?
Okay. Yes, it's a... If you like Terminator, it's like Terminator, but in the Wild West. And it has, forgive me, I don't remember the name, but it has one of the all-time classic Wild West villains playing basically a killer robot that's walking around killing people. It's amazing. It's straight up at the end, it's basically Terminator.
Okay, well, now
you
now you sold me on
it. Evil, like, robot vision, but it's in the 1970s. It's by Michael Crichton. It's good stuff.
All right, I'll actually check it out now. You sold me. Number two. This is what I titled it. Oh man, this PS4 Fortnite bundle.
Oh man.
Here is Mike Kent from Dextro. The official Italian page for Sony's console confirmed the PlayStation 4 bundle will Fortnite bundle will come with an exclusive skin and 500 V-Bucks. Fortnite developers Epic Games have worked with Sony to bring Fortnite skin exclusive to PlayStation 4 users, and the Battle Royale outfit appears to be the latest. Set for launch on July 16th, the PlayStation 4 Fortnite bundle is expected to launch at the same price as the regular PS4 on its own. Did you see this?
Yes.
We
follow all of the Fortnite bundles because people love the Fortnite.
Love the Fortnite, right?
All of the kids, they love the Fortnite.
I think with
the building,
all the scuttlebutt right now around PlayStation 4 and Fortnite and crossplay and stuff, like, I cannot imagine they are thrilled that this image leaked or got put up early of this Fortnite bundle with this, you know, new skin, 500 V-Bucks. It gives you people are like, why bundle a free game? Well, it's like, it gives you Save the World too.
It's
like
it's kind of a bad look.
It's a terrible look. Nathan C. writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can to be part of the show, and says, what's good, Greg and Kat? I'm sure a lot of people who are upset by the current situation with PlayStation and Epic accounts already have a PlayStation 4, and so this bundle isn't for them. But is it really a good PR move to be putting out a Fortnite bundle now without fixing the problem so many people are talking about? Hope you guys have a fantastic Friday, and thanks for all you do. Your friend Nathan, P.S. Thank you for your Pokemon Let's Go article, Kat. It made me realize why I'm excited for the Let's Go games and why I didn't dig the tall grass random encounter system in core Pokemon games. I didn't know how to put my thoughts into words, and you did it wonderfully in your article.
Join the resistance. Down with random encounters.
We'll talk about that in a second. this is a terrible look.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine whatever channel put it, PlayStation Italy, there must have been a conversation, we need to hold off on this announcement. Let the dust settle when the Epic stuff happened at E3, when you couldn't link Switch, and I was all pissy about it, and everybody was all pissy about it, I was like, well, now it's going to calm down, and it'll be a story that kind of fades in the darkness, no matter how much of us want to bang a drum about it. And then yesterday, Xbox and Switch being like, fuck you, Minecraft worked, why won't Fortnite? You know what I mean? It was like, oh, fuck, that's still happening.
Man,
and
that
like,
was one big middle finger to
exactly.
That. That was amazing, actually.
And then today, just an unforced air of, all right, we're doing this bundle. And like already the jokes of like, it's got an exclusive skin, exclusive V-Bucks, and exclusive you can only play with PlayStation players.
I just don't think they care very much because Sony is in full, we won this generation, it's over. The PS4 is going to be the highest selling console of all time.
Yeah.
And they're doing victory laps. I mean, you saw at E3, they're really, huge and kind of insane press conference.
Right.
Were you actually at the press conference?
No, we did reactions from here.
I mean, you were walking across a Japanese garden like the pond and everything.
Yeah,
I went there because I wanted to see if on the off chance that Death Stranding would actually be playable.
Sure.
Ha ha, silly me. yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're crowding us into this farmhouse and they're doing this like crazy things to show off some games. And it's really, and then they have this huge party and it's clearly that they're like, we got, here's the money. We're setting it on fire right in front of you.
Yeah.
So take it. And frankly, they don't have a lot of impetus to make things easier for people who own their competitors. They're like going, why would we make things easier for Microsoft? Why would we make things easier for the Switch? We won. We're the PlayStation 4. And unfortunately, this happens to all console holders. When Nintendo is like, we won right now, and they're full on, oh, we're only going to go with the mainstream magazines. We're going to go with these people. We're going for the blue ocean. And when Microsoft is winning, they do the same dang thing.
Hey, we're going to be the only box in your living room. Yes. Everything will go through this. Entertainment.
So why would you want to play Fortnite on the Xbox One or the PS4 when you can be playing it on our console?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're just willing to let this one blow over.
You think they will? They're going to stand their ground. I don't think crossplay will ever happen. I do think they're going to figure out the cross progression thing.
Maybe.
Where they're going to be like, listen, because then it looks good to them. We heard you loud and clear. You can play on your Switch and have it go and it'll be fine. I don't think it'll ever be cross progression with Xbox. I think they're like, that's a bridge too far. Yeah. There are direct competitors. But then maybe they won't, because like I said, it's still a hard...
It's kind of a bummer, though, because I think Fortnite got really huge, partially on the back of the fact that it was on the PS4
because
it was free to play and everything. And I think Sony certainly benefited from it. And it's... Fortnite Battle Royale is the biggest game in the world, to the point that I've had people in the industry tell me that they are legitimately afraid that it's going to strongly impact AAA sales this fall, right?
Oh, really? Wow.
Like, that's how big it is. And to really piss off the fan base of the biggest game in the world, it's not great, even if you are Sony and you own everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I would love to be a fly on the wall for the conversations or phone calls between PlayStation and Epic.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is, like, even at, you know, Game Awards, where Donald Muster was throwing tons of shade about crossplay and like, we love it, we want it for everyone. It was very clear there, you know, talking about PlayStation. I think even Jeff might have asked the PlayStation question. But then here where we are, where it is like, you have everybody just dunking on them of like this. And like yesterday, you know, I saw Aubrey Norris, who does the Minecraft stuff, tweeting out about like, hey, we'd love to work with them, but you know, it's on the balls in their court kind of thing. It's like, wow.
I mean, and this was last year too with the whole Rocket League thing.
Yeah.
The Rocket League coming on the Switch and like, nope, no crossplay. So, but at the same time, Nintendo's like, can't hear you over the money.
Yeah.
I'm in my bathtub. I got my hat full of money.
We're fine. Don't worry.
Yes.
And I feel like, I mean, the moment's come and gone, but like, just PlayStation could stop it. Just give a statement of why they're not going to do this. But when they put out a statement, this is like, it's Jim Ryan. We want to protect the kids. Or then it's this one of like, there's 80 million people. Like, we're not even talking about playing with each. You're missing the point, PlayStation. We'll see. I have sad news for you.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, actually, no. Before I do, let's have happy news.
All right.
Talk about your Let's Go, your Pokemon Let's Go article.
Okay, Pokemon Let's Go. For the most part, I don't actually think the game is that great. I think it's a really super kind of baby's first Pokemon. And Pokemon
Pokemon is already baby's first RPG.
Exactly. Like, so instead of playing with your 7-year-old, you're playing with your 3-year-old. I think you can legitimately play this game with your 3-year-old, because it's like, there's the monster, throw the ball, right?
Got it.
I mean, and it's kind of cute, actually. I was holding the ball in my hand, and it was like, oh my God, I love this. I love holding my hand.
Oh, the tactile feel, yeah.
Yeah, throwing the ball is pretty awkward. You kind of have to go like, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like this weak throw to, it's awkward. Catching the monsters is actually not fun. But the reason I was writing about this is the time has come, Greg. The time has come. It made me realize that random encounters in Pokemon have to go. And
really?
People are like, really dogmatic
about this.
That's
what Pokemon is.
Like Junichi Masuda, who's like the producer, is going, no, it is part of the game. So the surprise and the excitement of finding a monster, that is the secret sauce. And I was willing to believe that until I paid Pokemon Let's Go.
Uh-huh.
And I saw all these monsters all over the map. I'm like, oh my God, the world feels alive in a way that it's never felt before. The Pokemon actually feel like they're there.
Yeah.
And instead of being like, oh God, avoid the grass, put on the repels, spray myself down with repels, I actually wanted to walk across the grass and go after monsters. I'd be like, oh my God, Butterfree. Oh my God, Pidgey.
Right.
Oh my God, there's a Pikachu. I got to get the Pikachu. And for the first time, and God knows, like 2003, I actually completed the Pokedex 386 monsters. I literally sent my copy of Ruby and Sapphire to the UK to get a Japanese Celebi to finish my damn Pokedex. And that's what it was. But after that, I was like, I'm done. I'm no more.
Yeah,
I'm just going to.
I've reached the top of the mountain and I don't need to do this
No more
again.
Legends. I'm not going to get 500. I'm not going to get 700. But now, like, seeing them there, suddenly I kind of want to catch them all.
Really?
Yeah. And people are like, well, you're going to lose all of the stuff that makes Pokemon special. I'm like, why? Like, okay, so they spawn off the edge of the screen, right? Like, you see one coming off, and you're like, oh, my God, a shiny. I got to go get that, right? Yeah. Like, if you, on the off chance that you might see a shiny, that's a really exciting experience. And if it gets off the screen, you're like, oh, damn it. That's such a bummer. Rather than going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Come on, get a shiny.
Trying to make it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just, I don't like it. It's busy work. It detracts from the gameplay. Prove me wrong, Pokemon fans. Prove me wrong.
When they talk about the 2019 Pokemon game, right? The next gen one.
Yes.
Do you see... Is that going to be a drastic change, do you think? Or is it going to... Yeah?
Well, here's the interesting thing. We don't know much of anything about the core RPG yet.
Yeah.
But from the sound of it, they're basically kind of splitting the audience. They're going, all right, for people who like Pokemon Go and people who are joining the franchise first time, here's Pokemon Let's Go. And you can play co-op and it's cute and it's fun. It's super accessible, not daunting at all. For the core fans, and Pokemon has a really big core fan base at this point.
Andrew Goldfarb.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Pokemon master myself, I like to think. Eighth generation sounds like it's going to be geared toward them. They said, this is for the core fans. This is for the people who really want to play Pokemon. Because while it's not a huge, it's not exactly League of Legends, Pokemon's competitive play has actually become a thing.
Okay.
Like, they have the Pokemon World Tournament every year with qualifiers and all that. They've been clearly gearing the design toward the doubles metagame and everything. Yeah, so they are focused on competitive gaming at this point. And I think that they just kind of want to slice it down the middle a little bit and be like, core audience, here you go. You got your cool games. We're going to market some new monsters right over here. Everybody else, right here. And my partner loves Pokemon Go. And she's always found Pokemon kind of like, this is too much. This is too intense.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the first time she'll be able to come in and just like enjoy it.
Huh. It's going to be fascinating to see.
It's going to be fascinating.
Love this Pokemon stuff.
Yes.
Or seeing what happens. I don't play. You know, I played Pokemon Go a little bit.
What was the last Pokemon you seriously played?
I mean, there's only one I ever played. It was,
really?
I always screw it up. Soul
Silver and Heart Gold.
It was the one that came with the pedometer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Did you carry the pedometer around?
Hell yeah, I did. We all did at IGN. We were all super into it. I was like, I'm gonna give it a go. And I played for a while and just fell out of it. So yeah. With Go, it was the same thing of like, okay, this is fine. But then Kevin got super into it. Tim was playing for a while. But like, Kevin was insane about it. I remember driving to a movie and Kevin had his phone out. Like, he was trying to ping spots as we went to try to get people.
Got so many.
Yeah, good job.
Pokemon Go was one of the most insane summers I've ever had. I mean, I came home from Japan, a humble break, and I'm walking around San Francisco, and there were literally crowds of people running past going, oh my God, there's a Ghastly over here. We got to go catch it. And I'm just like, this is incredible. Like the video of people running into Central Park to go catch the monsters. That was crazy.
I couldn't get over it. Yeah. Of like, I remember, you know, we'd be leaving parties or whatever, and like Grimecraft would be like, all right, well, I'm just going to go walk around. He'd show me his phone. It's all lit up because he's over by Union Square. All right. And then it was, out in like where the old office was, the spare bedroom where we used to live. It was a quiet neighborhood filled of elderly people. And all of a sudden you go out on the one main strip, and there'd be all sorts of kids out there, and like kids our age are just walking around doing this, just like, this is crazy that it's happening like this. I mean, God bless him. It was cool to be a part of in peripheral way and just see the movement, but there you go. Now, sad news.
No.
Number three, Kevin, take off your hat and put it over your heart, all right? I'll wait. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, rest in peace, Friday the 13th.
Oh, God,
Friday the 13th, the game. Wes over on Reddit, one of the developers on it, put up this statement. Hey, campers. Sorry for the silence as of recent. It's been a couple of tough weeks, as I'm sure you're aware. If you're not aware, I think we were at E3 when this all happened, right? A Friday the 13th lawsuit with the creator or whatever means that they are no longer allowed to make new developments for the game while this lawsuit is happening. So there was this question of like, what happens next for Friday the 13th game? Wes says, but I wanted to address a few questions that I've had sent to me personally, as well as questions we've received through the official Friday the 13th channels. These questions vary, but all have a similar tone/request. Quote, is there a chance of any content being added to the game if a ruling on the dispute occurs in the near future? The answer is no. Development on games can't just pause indefinitely and pick back up again. It doesn't work that way, especially when you have no idea when the future date will occur. We can't keep building content that may never see the light of day. That's bad business. I've also had questions about adding non-Friday the 13th related content to the game. Quote, can't you make a new level or a new counselor that has nothing to do with the films, end quote? We can't do that either. We can't add any content whatsoever. Nada. Not even a new tree or a rock. We can only focus on console dedicated servers, bug fixes, and maintenance. I know this isn't the news you wanted to hear, and I wish the situation were different, but it's the painful truth. I appreciate your passion and look forward to seeing everyone around camp. Wes.
Such a bummer because...
Stupid legality stuff.
Yeah. Friday, I mean, the fact that it was a lawsuit that wasn't even involving the game, it was just involving
the IP, right?
The IP and everything, yeah. That it kind of... went over the game. And the game itself, I mean, it had bugs, it had issues and stuff like that. You're shaking your fist. Why are you shaking your fist?
If you're about to badmouth Friday the 13th.
I'm not badmouthing.
All right, Kevin, put down your fork, your pitchfork. Not your regular fork. You can keep eating.
Yeah, you can. I'm not badmouthing it at all. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I think
it was a fun buggy game.
Really cool asymmetric multiplayer kind of thing going on. And I really hope that other developers kind of pick up the ball and run with it, because yeah. I think there's actually a lot of promise going on there. The next Battle Royale. No, it's not going to be the next Battle Royale, but it'd be a lot of fun,
100
right?
100 Jasons drop on an island.
Yeah. So...
hold on. I want to bring Bots Stoff into the conversation. Bots Stoff wrote into
Welcome
Kind of
to
Funny.
Welcome to the conversation, Bots Stoff.
Kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Kat, Friday the 13th's future is in limbo and the license will be taken away. However, if the devs were to take its concept, mechanics, gameplay, pretty much everything else other than the setting slash characters, would they be able to make a clone of their own game? I'm not a game developer, so I'm not sure how licensing works. Is the IP bound to some code written to run the game? Would you or anyone you just play a game called Sunday the 8th featuring a supernatural killer named Nazaj. Jason backwards. Anyway, keep up the great work. Love y'all. Wish me luck on my midterm in half an hour from when you read this on air. Sorry for all the questions. Bots off.
Oh my God, you have a midterm in June? Well, anyway, good luck with you.
Go get him.
Yeah, do it.
I think this...
Who is Nazaj? Yeah, I love this character, Nazaj.
He wouldn't wear a hockey mask, right?
Sunday the 8th.
Yeah.
He would have been wearing an umpire mask or something.
Umpire mask?
There you go.
Say that. That's
well,
great.
If it's Sunday the 8th, we could base it around football, because football's played on Sundays.
Oh, my
right?
God.
So he's
Sunday.
Football helmet, right?
Sunday.
Any given Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, yeah. I love it.
We got
the game.
We got it.
Well, any given Sunday.
I'll write into Gun Media and Ilphonic right now to make sure it happens.
More seriously, though, I mean, you've seen kind of situations like that. You may have heard of a little game called Mighty No. 9. Did not turn out well, but it was basically Mega Man. A reskinned Mega Man, right?
Yeah.
Now, they've built the game from the ground up. You can't really take the old assets from the old code and change it up and go, no, it's a whole new thing. Like, that is part of the original IP.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw what Bethesda was suing the heck out of Behavior Interactive for the same thing. So you can't really do that. So, I mean, ideally, in an ideal situation, they would say crowdfund a... Sunday, any given Sunday with Nazaj. And just create, essentially make it their own IP and say, oh, no, any similarities to this character, to the character of Jason, are purely coincidental.
How are you talking about? Yeah, I think they're going to be under a magnifying glass with whatever they do next.
Yes,
and so
exactly.
I think that, I think they have to deviate from it. I bet the next game they do will be in this vein. And they found success with it, right? And if they could, it would take everything they've learned from Friday the 13th and put it into an original IP, put it into a contract with an IP that isn't crazy. You know what I mean? Mm. I know people always want a Freddy Krueger game, right? If you're going to do Freddy Krueger, if you're going to do Michael Myers, if you're going to do any of the major movie monster villain men, you know what I mean? There's a way to do that. But again, it wouldn't be able to be that. It's just a reskinned version. You'd have to go in there and really tweak it and build it again.
For more legal analysis and IP discussion, please come to Kinda Funny.
Don't take ours. If you're going to know Phonics, like, no, that is all actually not a... It is, and that's the other thing, too, is like not being... in the room, not knowing what their contract is and what they agreed to with the thing. I don't know if it is just an IP thing or how much Friday the 13th is tangled up in it. So I don't think it's that easy, Bot Stoff, but I don't think you've heard last of this kind of gameplay from these people.
Yeah.
Number four, a quick one for you. Devil May Cry 5 is getting there. This is via Francesco Di Mio over at WCCF Tech. The latest issue of Famitsu confirmed that Devil May Cry 5 development is 75% complete, which is definitely reassuring. The magazine also provides some additional story details, confirming that the villain will be the strongest Nero and Dante have ever faced, and that something mysterious has been happening in the demon world. Nero, apparently, is also on the move to reclaim something that he lost, but it's not clear if the magazine is referring to his demon arm, Kiri, or something else. Lastly, the magazine confirmed that more information on the game will be coming this summer.
Did you see the image meme of Dante getting progressively older and yes. more gnarled?
Yeah,
the way up until being a character from Bloodborne. It was actually pretty amazing. Dante's not doing so good. That's
no,
like
he's,
hard
he's
living.
A haggard man. You know what I mean? He's fighting all these demons going in the world.
I mean,
stuff.
That's what happens, right? Maybe he's hyper-aging because of the fact that he's half demon.
Exactly. We don't know.
Yeah,
you know what
we
mean?
Don't know. Yeah. But I am really excited about Devil May Cry
Are
5. I think Capcom's on the rise perfectly often. They,
I agree 100% with you. We were talking about this on Gamescast yesterday.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World, that's my personal game of the year right now.
It's fantastic.
It's best-selling Capcom game ever.
Yeah.
They got Devil May Cry 5 coming back. Resident Evil 2 Remake was Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Was just our game of the show for E3.
Yep.
And
you
I
go
mean,
back before Monster Hunter, it was the same thing with RE7.
Yep.
Where I was like, we haven't heard anything about this thing. It's not going to turn out. How will the VR be? And you play it, you're like, yep. Oh my God, this is awesome.
I like Devil May Cry a lot. I think Devil May Cry 3 is probably the best in the series, but I like DMC as well.
Oh,
did
okay.
you ever play DMC?
No, I've tried to. I had my PS2 back in the day, and I tried to get into Devil May Cry, and just the action combos jumping off, it just didn't work for me. I always respected it, just not my kind of game. That same thing with Bayonetta, where I look at it, I'm like, ooh, just not a game for me.
Man, I remember back in the PS2 days seeing this kind of fast-paced action combat. It was not something that you had ever really seen before. You hadn't been able to play that in, say, the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So it was so exciting, right? And Devil May Cry 3 was kind of the pinnacle of that. And then I remember when Devil May Cry 4 came out and everybody complained so loud. It's like, install times?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
the hell? And Capcom said, go make a sandwich while it's... and people got even angrier.
Yeah.
And now everybody just kind of goes, oh, whatever, it's an install time.
Yeah, whatever.
Just accept it. But that showed how things were kind of transitioning awkwardly, but
yeah. We'll see more information this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five, a super short one for you. Hellblade has hit 1 million downloads across Xbox, PlayStation 4, and PC. It's also 40% off right now in the Steam sale if you want to get on that.
Good for Ninja Theory, though.
Right?
I mean, and now they've been purchased by Microsoft. So.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely on the rise. See what happens with them.
I wish them the best of luck. I wonder what Microsoft is hoping to get from them because the kind of games that they've produced, I mean, they produced DMC, they produced Hellblade, have always been kind of...
Heavenly Sword.
They're a very particular type of game with a very particular and loyal cult audience. And
yeah.
I think it gives Microsoft a certain hardcore cred that maybe they've been lacking of late, which I think is why they ended up picking up Ninja Theory in the first place. But we'll see what ends up happening. I'm much more excited about Playground Games because...
Really?
I think Forza Horizon is so good.
Yeah.
I loved Forza Horizon 3. It was amazing. And I cannot wait for Forza Horizon 4. I mean, I'm not a driving person. But I love those games because they're so pretty. And you're driving around these incredible worlds. The car physics feel great. And if the rumors are true, and it sounds like they are, that they're making a Fable reboot,
gets me super excited.
Yeah, I can totally trust Playground Games to do a really amazing job with a great open world game, and I'm excited to see them make promises with Fable that will actually be kept.
Yeah, a change of pace for the IP.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. What did you think of Microsoft's conference and the five announcements and all that jazz?
I thought they had probably the second strongest conference. I thought Bethesda had the strongest conference.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I was really excited about Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Sure.
I was delighted to see Starfield finally confirmed. Yeah, okay, it's several years out, but oh my God, Fallout in space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Doom announcement was really great. I'm super pumped for Fallout 76. I think Fallout 76 will be, it has a legit shot at being my game of the year. We'll see.
Wow. Fallout 76, I love Fallouts. And so when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is what I want from this. And not in the change it to be my thing. Just like, maybe this isn't, I need to play it. I need to play the beta because it just, when it was like, there was a scene where all four people ran out and they were fighting ghouls. And I was just like.
So I think the thing is that they keep promising that it's going to have still a story and RPG stuff. And I'm like, okay, you still got that. And you can let me build my my cool settlements. Hopefully you'll give me lots more materials than before. I love the settlement building in Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. I know that not everybody liked it.
Yeah,
but
that was a huge turnoff for me.
It was so my jam.
Yeah.
I had free settlements. I was making all this money. I had a place to put my characters. I had a castle with people in power armor. And people were like, oh, Cat playing with their little Barbies in Fallout. And I'm like, damn right I'm playing with my
goddamn
power
right
armor.
I am. Yeah.
And so they're building Fallout 76 around that. I'm like, done. I'm in. So as for Microsoft, I thought they had a really strong conference. For the most part, they kind of instilled confidence that they are serious about having original IPs for their game, yeah. for their system. That's like, here's a reason to buy the Xbox. And here's the thing. While we were just talking about PlayStation 4, kind of maybe being a little arrogant, I want to say, Microsoft has been quietly in the background. They've been doing Xbox backward compatibility. That's awesome, Game in Pass. My opinion. Game Pass is actually a really good service.
Yeah.
And they are building the infrastructure that I think will really benefit them in the next generation. They've put all the Kinect crap behind them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not trying to take over the living room while everybody's cutting the cord. They're focusing on the games, and that makes me actually pretty excited for the Xbox 2, which is a dumb name, but whatever. Please don't be Xbox 2. Yeah, Microsoft had a good conference.
Good. I'm excited to see how these studios pay off, mm-hmm. what they're going to do and all, but it's so far away.
Yeah.
Kat, if I wanted to know what came to mom and grop video game shops today, where would I go?
What?
This is the transition thing I was talking about.
Oh, my God.
Where would I go?
I did it. I screwed it up. No!
You're the first person I've ever tried to warn beforehand. Wow. Usually, I forget until this moment. I'm like, oh, you got to read this thing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's okay.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Thank you. Out today. Mario Tennis Aces on Switch. Ooh. New Gundam Breaker on PlayStation Ooh. 4. New dates for you. Life is Strange 2. Episode 1 is coming out September 27th, 2018. We're going to get more information in August. Can't Ooh. Wait.
Are you a big Life is Strange fan?
I am. I'm ready for that Captain Underpants game or whatever the hell it is next week.
I thought it was kind of like Doug. Did you ever watch Doug back in the day?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, my God. So it's basically Quail Man, the video game.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, totally.
It's like
Captain
Doug
Awesome.
Having his crazy adventures, but in a Captain Underpants kind of way.
But his dad seems kind of maybe like he could be abusive, and he's going through mom's dead. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Donut's doing really well for themselves. Yeah. Lots of different adventure games. They seem to have kind of established themselves separately from Telltale. And I think...
Yeah, they're doing what I think Telltale should have done. Right, one of the directions Telltale should have moved.
To Unreal, I think, really benefited it because Life is Strange, as soon as you were playing it, just immediately better than a lot of the Telltale games. And
you weren't pulled out of the experience. Telltale always does it where it hitches or whatever. Yeah. You're like, oh, that animation.
They aren't wedded to a bad engine. As for Life is Strange, like, I think it's a tiny bit overrated in some respects, but I think the thing that really resonated with people, and I think they understand it, is people really resonated with the teenage kind of drama.
Yeah.
It's a little like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
Totally.
It feels like a Joss Whedon joint. And I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is kind of my favorite thing.
Wow. Okay.
One of my favorite things. And so I get that vibe, you know, supernatural.
Sure.
I mean, you get the same thing in Persona 4 Golden, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, more Life is Strange. Let's see what's going on with Chloe Max next.
You think it'll be them again? That's always the debate.
Why not, right? I mean, if I were them, I would introduce a new characters and then have Chloe Max be kind of secondary, like,
background
cameos.
Characters.
Yeah. But you also risk making people mad and hating these new characters, so.
My biggest thing with it always is that, you know, there's the two very different endings for Life is Strange.
Yeah.
And I feel like with an audience as passionate about that story and who those characters, and granted, as I argued with Michelle, right, about it all the time, every time we hang out, of like, there's one ending that's the right ending. And he's like, no, there is. I'm like, well, one ending goes on and has like a real epilogue. The other is just a truck driving away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not really how it goes. I feel like I don't know if they want to take that away from players, that you made a choice and that's how it ended.
It reminds me of Warcraft 2. When they ultimately made a sequel for Warcraft 2, they decided to make the Alliance ending the canon ending.
Mm-mm.
Where this is the same thing with the original Warcraft. They made the Horde ending the canon ending. And then they just go with that. And you say, the other one's kind of apocryphal. I think it worked with Warcraft. I think you're risking the wrath of the fans if you say, this is the legit one, this other one is not so much.
Your decisions didn't matter.
They just... The same with it's the same with sort of Walking Dead, right? I mean, everybody kind of had their own sort of little story and their own sort of decisions.
Sure, but it read your save, remember? It totally understood where you came from.
It's true. I mean, you could do that in Life is Strange too as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What if... Nah, they're not going to do that.
What was it going to be?
I was going to say, what if they had your save be based on whichever ending you got? But then that would be maybe
a lot of development time on something you might never see.
I feel like BioWare just broke into cold sweats thinking about having like Mass Effect flashbacks.
How are we going to link all this together?
Oh my God, yeah.
It's time for reader mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our two sponsors. First up, Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever. Brooklinen.com has the most comfortable sheets without a big markup. I use them, Kat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Are they really soft?
Yeah, they are great. Yeah, ooh, I like them a lot too. It was easy to order too. You go on there, you mix and match with the buttons, and you see what happens. And then now I take these photos of Portillo for Instagram, and he's on the sheets, and it looks good.
Well, I just moved, so I could probably use some new bed sheets.
Let me tell you about the deal I have for you then.
Oh, man.
You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com/promo code GAMES.
Are you the kind of person who plays video games right before bed? Like, do you bring a Switch or a Vita into bed?
I try not to do that.
Laptop?
I try to leave that in the living room. It's very rare that I bring it. Usually when I'm into the bed, it's sleep time. You know what I mean?
Interesting. I'm the kind of person who totally tucks in like with a Vita or whatever start and like plays because it's just comfy, right?
Oh, yeah. Super comfy.
A cup of tea. It's like sleepy time, playing some games. And I could totally imagine doing that with these sheets.
Well, now you can. Brooklinen.com.
Oh, man.
Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Second sponsor, MeUndies. I don't know how many times I can tell you, I only wear MeUndies. I love MeUndies. I bought MeUndies. They were so good, I threw away the other undies. Wow. Ordered more MeUndies.
I've heard a lot of hype about MeUndies on all of the podcasts, and I'm told that they're very, very good.
And they are, and now you can get a deal with them too. But let me run you through this, all right? You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough. MeUndies is so sure that you'll love the first pair. That motorcycle do like a donut outside? How was it that long of a rev? Anyway, MeUndies is so sure you'll love your first pair that if you're not happy, they'll do whatever they can to make it right. And if they can't, you get to keep it. They refund you. You get free underwear. It's risk-free, so try it out. Plus, if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's a win-win. MeUndies has a deal for you, the listener. First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 20% off, free shipping, and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be very happy together. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself to get 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Where do I want to start with you? Oh, here we're Kat. Yesterday, we made your article.
Oh.
You're about the Switch. Yes. And what it means for going forward in console generations and all that jazz.
Yes.
That was required reading.
Okay.
So everyone knew to go read that.
Thank you.
Dak writes in with a question pertaining to it.
Okay.
Hey, Greg and Kat. With conversation growing about the Nintendo Switch's position on the market compared to the upcoming console releases by Sony and Microsoft, I was wondering how you two would feel about Nintendo releasing a new dock for the Switch. Not just any dock, but the one that would come with internal components that would help beef up the power of the Switch. Extra RAM, GPU, etc. This, of course, would make certain new games only playable in docked mode. Would this be a fair trade-off instead of having to shell out more money for the new Nintendo Switch, as the new dock would be cheaper than the cost of the original console? I'm thinking about $15. That is not how that's going to work. But yeah, thanks for all you do for the industry, Dak.
For the reference, a separate Pokeball controller, a Pokeball Plus, that's $50.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And like pro controllers are still $80, right?
I guarantee that a new dock would be like $75 to $100 easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, to summarize your article, I want you to do number one. And then thing is, is that even possible? But your article you wrote, if somebody didn't do the required reading, what was it?
So I was talking to Panic Button's Adam Creighton during E3. And if you don't know who Panic Button is, they're the ones who are reporting Doom and Wolfenstein, right, Rocket League and everything. And they have a pretty good reputation for being able to work with the hardware and everything. And we got to talking about next gen and what we want out of the next generation. And I was like, well, what do you think about the Switch? Like, have we already maxed out the capabilities of the Nintendo Switch? What's going to mean for the Switch once we transition to the next generation? And he was like, oh, well, I don't think we've maxed out the capabilities of the Switch. I think it's a game by game kind of basis. I think that especially as games are kind of developed with the Switch in mind, you'll be able to have assets and that kind of thing that will work much better with the console, right?
Yeah.
And as for the next generation, he said, well, I'm of the opinion that Nintendo will keep iterating on it. And that can mean a lot of different things. We've had moments in the past with like the 3DS XL or the new 3DS, that had a power boost. It was still backwards compatible with all the games, but certain games were looked much better on it. Xenoblade on the 3DS was a limited to the new 3DS. Plus, they had extra virtual console stuff. So I wouldn't be shocked if they took a similar sort of approach with a Switch, essentially a Switch Pro, right?
Yeah.
Where you're, I mean, it kind of splits the audience, but not really, and it's going to upgrade the power and be better. I think, though, that next generation is going to be a big enough leap that it's still going to make third parties a non-starter. But here's the thing. I think that power doesn't matter in the same way that it used to. I mean, one of the top-selling games on the Switch is Stardew Valley, right? I mean, there are so many of these games. Like, what were some of the biggest games of last year? Persona 5, Nier Automata. Like, these were games that were not graphical powerhouses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could just say, yeah, like, this could totally run on the Switch. People are waiting for Persona 5.
It's still the question, too, for Nintendo and for the Switch, how much does the third-party big game matter?
I don't know.
Like, are they hurting? Yeah. Is Switch going to hurt this fall because it doesn't have Assassin's Creed Odyssey? No.
No.
It's going to be fine. Nobody's expecting that. It's awesome that I can't believe that Fortnite runs so well on Switch and looks as good as it does.
I think it's mostly a matter of having the appearance of momentum and avoiding those dreaded content gaps. And that was a huge problem with the Wii U last generation, or not last generation, the Wii U, right? You would wait months and months for Nintendo to put a thing out because nobody else was putting things out. Maybe you would get the odd indie. With the Switch, though, I mean, you've got kind of a deluge of people coming on to the Switch, indie developers. You get like a dozen new games coming onto the eShop
every
all the time.
Thursday. It's ridiculous.
If anything, we've got too many games on the Switch. I mean, I don't think you can have too many games, but the eShop is already kind of groaning under the pressure and everything. Yeah. So I think that, no, they're not super reliant on, I don't know, Fallout 76 coming out to the Switch. I think people treat the Switch as like its own thing. You're buying it for Nintendo games, and then you get some other cool games as well. It's kind of become my Steam machine, to be perfectly
100%.
Honest.
100%. No, I mean, it for me, it is the sequel. It is the Vita 2 I always wanted. Yeah. Where, hey, guess what? All the indie games are still there. You know, Hollow Knight's chilling ready for me to start it. It's like, great. This is what I want from it.
I got
to
play Hollow Knight.
Right?
Exactly.
With all these Nintendo exclusives.
Yeah. And there was another game that came out last year. It was a cool indie. There were a bunch of cool indies that came out last year.
Golf Story?
Yeah, Golf Story was good, right? There are so many cool indies that came out last year that I've just been kind of saving up on my Switch.
Yeah. When I go to All Software and it's just rows and rows of games I haven't even touched yet, it is the Steam problem of like, oh, well, here's my library of these things I've never played.
And anything that does extremely well on Steam is going to surface onto the Switch.
Exactly.
And plus, I think Japanese developers are already transitioning over to the Switch. And so I think that even if the third-party support for like your typical AAA games tail off, I think you're going to see, you know, Bandai Namco or whomever continuing to support it, and it'll have a nice stream of games.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Atlus does with it, right? Atlus was so good at supporting the Vita and doing stuff there. Like, when they get on board and where are they going to take it?
Give me a friggin' Persona collection, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of
I mean, think about if they even brought over Persona Q.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I know we say there's
Persona
too many,
Q too.
There's so many re-releases and stuff, but if you just brought these games over.
But in terms of actually improving the Switch, it's really hard to say what they would do. I wouldn't be surprised if they left the dock the same.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I don't think they're going to give up the message of it being, you know, that it can pop in and it can pop out. And like, when you change the dock and this game's only playable in dock mode, that, like, we're talking about how hard it is already to say to an audience of like, all right, cool, there's the Switch Pro and some games can only work there. But to be like, this dock does this, but like, I just don't see
that
being
the answer.
If
anything, it's the opposite. I think from what I've been able to gather, Nintendo's main strategy for the Switch is try to get everybody in the household to have their own Switch.
Right.
That's why they released a bundle in Japan that was without the dock.
Yeah, just the Switch.
So I could see a Switch Pro that was, I mean, you can plug it into the dock.
Exactly. That's way more likely. You're right, actually. Yeah, that, hey, we're doing this new Switch that, you already have the dock. Great. This one's souped up and can do whatever you need to do with it. Where do I want to go next? I'm going to take you to Ryan next.
Okay, Ryan.
Ryan's wrote
Let's
in.
Let's do this, Ryan.
Ryan, you're very ready for Ryan. Ryan wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, will there be a Fortnite 2? For whatever reason, I don't see the parameters and characteristics of Fortnite as lending themselves to the successful idea of sequels in the way Call of Duties do. Could you see a Fortnite Mars or some such nonsense? Hashtag, what's up, Big Kev Dog?
The Fortnite. Fortnite-ning.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a PUBG 2 before there's a Fortnite 2.
Interesting.
Because I think that there's no reason whatsoever to change what they've got with Fortnite 2. There's absolutely no reason to mess with the player base.
Yeah.
You don't want to deal with the headache of migrating over, say, accounts over to Fortnite 2. I mean, Fortnite Battle Royale is basically evergreen at this point. I mean, look at World of Warcraft. Have they made a sequel to that? No.
Look at Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like, Minecraft's the best example of how I think you can keep going, keep iterating, put out Bedrock updates that make a big deal, make a big noise. For Fortnite Mars, that won't be its own game. It'll be, hey, the world will rock off its access when Epic's like, guess what, everybody? We're adding a new map. Or we're taking away the old map and putting in this new, and like, people are going to lose their minds that kind of stuff's happening.
And we're basically on World of Warcraft 4 at this point, or 5. Yeah. Like, it's so different, even how it was 10 years ago, which itself was different than 5 or 6 years before that. And so it's going to be like that with Fortnite. I think this is going to last a long time.
Yeah. And it's what you're saying too, of like, it's a free-to-play game. It's in so many people's houses. Like, why would you want to screw that up when you can just push a new update and like somebody who's lapsed that hasn't played in 6 months or whatever, here's this new thing. Oh, I want to jump in. I already have the game.
It's going to go full Skyrim. You're going to be able to play Fortnite Battle Royale on your Alexa. You're going to be able to play it on your fridge, your refrigerator.
Alexa, drop at Tilted Towers. Matt McCaleb writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, have you had time to jump into the demo for Octopath Traveler at all? I started knowing nothing about it and very quickly played the 3 hours it allowed me to play. I'm completely in love with it and I can't wait for the release. Plus, my progress transfers with me when I start my game on release day. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on the game. I started with the Scholar and he was really cool/versatile. Do you think if more games allowed you to bring over your beta save, more people would jump in and test their games? You guys make my office job less boring. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Octopath Traveler, everyone has told me, from Xavier Woods to Tim Geddes to everyone on the internet, this game's amazing. And I look at the art for it and I watch the trailers and I'm like, I'm 100% in. I don't want to know anything till release day. I don't want to play it till I have the final version. Have you been tinkering with the demo?
I haven't been tinkering with the demo too much because I've been waiting for the final release. I'm not the kind of person who
just
usually
like me,
yeah, there we go. I'm not the kind of person who usually picks up an RPG, plays the demo, and then transfers over her save.
I don't want to leave a few weeks or whatever of gap in there. I want to play the game and
losing
digest
momentum.
It. Yeah.
And I'm actually, this is the time of year that I'm working through my backlog. That said, I think Octopath Traveler is one of the more exciting kind of releases this summer. It has a good pedigree. It was made by the guys who did the Bravely series.
Yeah.
And the Bravely Default games were, for the most part, really good. A little grindy, but I think that they were pretty funny. They did a really great job of kind of refreshing that classic RPG feeling with the job system and everything. And Octopath Traveler seems to take it to another level. Kind of reminds me of, have you ever heard of a game called Seventh Saga for the SNES?
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about
it. So it's basically a game where you pick from like one of seven people, I believe, and they all have their different adventures. One of them is like the villain, and it's hard as balls. But this kind of reminds me of that, but perhaps better.
Because
you have 8 different characters that you can choose from, all have their different abilities, all have their different antagonists, all have their different backstories. And so you're kind of approaching it from many different ways, like many different viewpoints.
That replayability.
But plus, like, I really love what they've done with the graphics, like the HD 2D or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks really cool. So I don't know, it's got that wonderful retro RPG feeling and it's on the right platform. I think it'll do well.
Oh, I think it's gonna
it's getting so
kill.
Much hype.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not long now. What is it? July or is it August? I think it's July.
July's next month.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Why is it July next month? What the hell, man?
E3 came in and just stole this entire thing.
The next thing I know, I'm going to like wake up and it's going to be like, November.
Exactly. The review rush is here. Get everything done.
Red Dead Redemption 2 just dropped. No. I mean, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but
wait
yeah,
a minute.
But no.
What am I talking about? I'm so excited.
Octorad gets the final question of the day by writing into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD, I have a question regarding how gameplay demos are shown at major events like E3. Gameplay demos that are shown at major events like E3 are constructed. Are all of these demos actually played by a real person with a controller 100% of the time? Or do the developers use certain methods to affect the game to make it look better? I've read an article that went in depth on how screenshots are taken for the back of box art, and I was fascinated by how much I was not aware of. Much love, Octorad.
Short answer, no. Long answer, kind of, because there's actually a really good article by, I think, Patrick Klepek over on Kotaku a couple years ago where he actually had the war stories from these developers who were putting together these demos for E3.
Sure.
One of them was from Harmonix, and he was talking about how they had done the Rock Band demo, the original Rock Band demo, and had Peter Moore up on stage playing it. And there was a bug that resulted in the game pausing.
I remember this.
And that's what happened. It paused on stage, right? Stuff like, so they were playing the game. They were actually playing it, but whoops. I mean, and they're like killing themselves to make these demos. It's unreal. And they're freaking out. It's like, we got to get this right. This has to be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Shigeru Miyamoto was demonstrating the Wii Motion Plus with Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
And like,
there's too much interference.
Too much interference. And it was just like, oh, this is embarrassing. Because he was actually playing the game.
Yeah.
Right? He was actually playing the game. They also, that one time, played Wii music on the stage for realsies.
They should not have done that. Just period. Yeah. They should have just done it, period.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag crashed on stage. I mean, so these are real demos.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's where it gets so hard to say, Octorad, of like, what one are you referencing? You know what I mean? I think, it's interesting. I like your take on it. My take on it was, I thought he was asking, like, in The Last of Us Part 2 demo from E3, not the behind closed doors, but the one we saw on stage, was somebody playing that as Ellie, or was that, are they using a computer program to make her go do things?
That looked pre-recorded to me.
It was, and that was the thing. When I went behind closed doors, they played it with a controller in front of us to show you, no, we're playing it. It is that thing.
Yeah, they did that with Cyberpunk as well, where they were like playing it, and they're like, no, this is actual gameplay.
Yeah, watch,
allow
she's
us
right
to,
there.
Like, we're zooming in, see? There, real gameplay. We're not going to go anywhere off this path because the game will crash like crazy. But we're playing it.
And that's always the thing, right, with a vertical slice of any game. They have a demo path they're trying to show you, which means that, you can't just talk to anybody or do anything because that's not, the game isn't done. They're trying to build this.
I feel so bad for these developers who have to already kill themselves to make these games. And now they're killing themselves to make a vertical slice that will work and look good and get people, idiots like me, to be like, game of the show. Yeah.
Let me slap an award on this.
Woo, bonk.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
It's hard to make video games, and it's hard
to make video game. It's hard.
Yeah. And who would have guessed?
And here I am just going, nope, don't like it.
We sit here on our thrones and go yay or nay and just act like we did something. Kat, it's time to squat up.
All right.
This is where one of you listeners and or viewers writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. Today, Don DX needs help in Pokemon Go. He says, looking for best friends. Hey, Greg. Hey, Kat. After almost 2 years, we finally can add friends in Pokemon Go. Is anyone else still playing this? If so, I am looking for best friends all over the world to exchange gifts with. Winky emoticon. My trainer code, very original Nintendo Niantic, is 3559847131778. Thanks a lot for sharing it and making each and every weekday something special with your show. Smiley emoticon, Don DX. So everybody, go friend him. Share the things.
Go work together and conquer all of the gyms.
Exactly. Get them all. Yeah. Run goal far about a time.
Capture them all.
Please, capture them all.
I mean, people are definitely still playing Pokemon Go if our traffic numbers are accurate. It's
did it ever dip or has it always been steady?
Well, it's definitely not the super obviously sensation that it was, but clearly people are still playing it. Like I said, my partner's still playing it.
Yeah.
It's much more popular in urban centers like San Francisco, New York, Tokyo, London, because, I mean, come on. I mean, it's kind of a bummer if you're living in the middle of nowhere or you're living in a suburb or whatever.
I think it was Brian Albert, formerly of IGN, who went back to Iowa when it was all happening and was like, oh man, like now I see that playing in San Francisco's easy mode. It was a screenshot and it was like one gym in Iowa surrounded by nothing.
Oh my God. So yeah. So, I mean, I think it's actually more fun to play now because first of all, they gotten rid of a lot of the bugs. They've added a ton of new features, new Pokemon. So much easier to find the Pokemon now. Yeah. And not only that, because people, you don't have like critical mass and people going crazy playing it, it's actually probably easier to take over some of the gyms.
Sure. Yeah.
Like last night, I went to go pick up my partner from the ferry and she goes and runs off. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I was just getting that gym. And then we're driving home and she's like, I got another gym.
Pull over! See, I'm waiting for the Ghostbusters knockoff. You hear about that one? Remember this?
No. Oh,
They announced the one. You're going to go catch ghosts. I'm like, I'm in. Just put it out.
Catch all of the ghosts.
Exactly. Where is it? I don't know. We have a special rotating segment from you. This is a heads up, I'm calling it, from Shredberg. Shredberg wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Kat, not a question, but rather a PSA that Summer Games Done Quick starts this Sunday. If you don't know, SGDQ is a speedrun marathon that runs 24 hours a day for an entire week, in which all proceeds from the event, from both donations and subscriptions, are going to Doctors Without Borders. Highly recommend everyone check this out. Check out this event because it's a blast. Anyways, hope you beautiful bastards out there have a great weekend. Much love, Shredberg.
Takes place in my hometown.
Really?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh my gosh, I didn't
Minnesota
know that.
Represent.
Minnesota? How close to Winona are you?
I am not that close to Winona because okay. I grew up south of the river suburb, but anyway, we actually did a profile of Summer Games Done Quick.
Did you
we
know?
Embedded with them a couple years back, and so you should go check out that feature over on US Gamer. It's pretty cool. I love Summer Games Done Quick. Is so much fun. Speedrunning is so much fun in general.
Man,
so.
When you watch these people break games ways you never even thought of,
it's
insane.
Oh my God, it's incredible. Yeah. So I think that's the single best thing to come out of streaming personally is speedrunning. These people are amazing. Like I can't get enough of watching them just dominate these games. It's incredible.
Cat.
Yeah.
We asked people watching this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. First one is somebody saying, I screwed up. I want you get to sign off on this. Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, DC Universe Online is technically an RPG. And since Greg said that's his version of heaven, I would say that's his favorite RPG. Do we count that as an RPG? It's an MMORPG.
Yes, it's an MMORPG, but MMORPGs and RPGs are a very different animal while they stem from similar backgrounds, they ultimately have different objectives. So I think that you could say that just because it's your version of heaven doesn't mean that it's your favorite RPG.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. But is it, I mean, would it, if you were, would this be a possible for your list?
A possible like best RPG. From
yeah,
us?
Yeah. I mean, it's not best so. MMO. I just feel it's different.
I think that if there were going to be an MMO on our list, perhaps DCU EU whatever DC Universe Online would not be on it. I actually went and played it way back in the day, back when they were still working on it.
Sure.
And I mean, it was a World of Warcraft with superheroes, but they also added some like cool beat 'em up kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they've slowly but surely improved upon it over the years.
Oh,
but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty solid little MMO for sure. But
I think it's my favorite MMO of all time.
I apologize to DC Universe Online fans, of which I'm sure there's still plenty.
There are. Don't worry, we're out there in dozens.
You wouldn't believe my favorite MMO. Yeah, you're not going to be able to guess it. It's Star Trek Online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, right. I played that game. That game is not that good, but it does the one thing that no other MMORPG has ever allowed me to do, and that's command my own starship, right?
Yeah.
I get to have my own. I have my spaceship. I'm flying around. I see other spaceships going by. I've got my own crew that I can customize with their customizable uniforms and give their own little backgrounds and bios, and then we go on away missions. They bring on like lots of Star Trek guests and everything.
That's cool.
It's kind of an exploitive game in some ways, like especially in the way that they like price up the starships and give them way too many special abilities. It's very pay to win in some respects, yeah. But if you like kind of solo content in an MMORPG and you like spaceships like me, Star Trek Online, I think.
Well, there you go. Continuing here on You're Wrong, Capitalist Pig writes in and talks about the Westworld movie villain. The actor in the original movie that played the robot was Yul Brynner.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, Yul Brynner.
Headset Havoc tells me that the Nintendo Pro Controller is now $60, no longer $80. Lord of Pwn says Octopath Traveler comes out July 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of Pwn again chimes in and says the Cyberpunk devs insist that their E3 presentation was not a demo but an actual build of the game. I think they wanted to stress.
Yeah, it totally was an actual build. Yeah.
And then Lord of Pwn again with a hat trick comes in and says SGDQ is taking place in Bloomington specifically. Yes, it's a suburb of the MSP metro area.
I thought it was in St. Paul. They must have moved it.
I mean, you know.
But yeah, I actually grew up 10 minutes away from Bloomington, so... So shout out to everybody in Burnsville. Yeah.
Burnsville people clapping right now, Minnesota. Listening and watching. Yeah, I'm so glad I watched this one. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Remember, we put it up on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, get party mode early, do a whole bunch of stuff over there. But, Kat.
Hi.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @_catbot, where I may or may not be ranting about various sports teams, which is a thing that I do sometimes. Also, I like to talk about giant robots. I'm kind of an eclectic nerd. Lots of things are happening.
Good.
But yeah, follow me on Twitter over at @_catbot. And of course, follow US Gamer. That's my day job, US Gamer Net. I appear also sometimes on Retronauts, Talking Simpsons, and I have my own podcast called Axe of the Blood God, which is an RPG podcast that you may have already heard about. So
about
yeah, 25 top 25 RPGs. What could it be? What could number 25 be? So please look forward to that.
Kat, you've been phenomenal. Thank you so much for
coming. Thank you.
In.
And thanks for having me on the show. I've had a lot of fun. Oh my God.
Well, you got to come back then.
Well, I insist.
This Gary Whitta guy doesn't show
I'm
up
totally
for work
gonna
anymore.
I'm totally going to kick down your door no matter what. Be like, hi, I'm here
it's
again.
It's Sunday. We don't record anything today.
I'm going to invite myself on the show. Take that.
You're welcome to anytime, Kat.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Bye.